3 days ago, I bowed my head, closed my eyes, and started to pray. But it felt like God was a million miles away. And then I remembered a simple and powerful way to reconnect my heart with God. And that's what we want to share with you today. Stay with us.
Welcome to this Thursday edition of Living on the Edge with Chip Ingram. Living on the Edge is an international discipleship ministry featuring the Bible teaching of Chip Ingram. I'm Dave Drewy. Isn't it interesting how we sometimes completely forget important things and need to be reminded of what we already know? Well, today we continue our series, Sacred Rhythms, Cultivating a Lifestyle That Makes Room for God, with a fresh look at the spiritual practice of connecting with God through prayer. Chip's team teaching with his son Ryan, who's a pastor in his own right of a vibrant young church in the Bay Area. So now let's join Ryan as he brings our message, Cultivating a Life of Faith.
My wife has this incredible ability to literally talk to anyone. She makes you feel like you're the only person in the room. You just feel so special and connected. And part of the magic that she has is she is an incredible question asker that moves a new conversation to this deep connection. It can happen rapidly. I love watching this because I, on the other hand, I'm not a great conversationalist. I'm not fantastic in this area. I can hold a conversation for, you know, like 5 minutes. And then I'm like, cool, let's just sit in silence. The other day I was on the phone with a buddy and we're talking. I hang up the phone and my wife asked me, so how are they doing? And I go, good, I think. And so she, you know, being the great question asker, dives a little bit deeper and says, well, how's their marriage? I don't know. didn't talk about that. And she's like, you know, I was talking to his wife the other day, and she was telling me how he was super stressed out at work and stuff going on. How's that all going? I'm like, work really, really didn't come up. And she looks at me and is going, so what did you talk about for the last hour? And I was like, March Madness? You know, there's something about it where I can have this long conversation and at the end of it not really know too much about you or how things are really going on. And isn't it amazing how just a little bit of intentionality can take a relationship and move it into the deep waters of intimacy? And then that the inverse is true, that the lack of intentionality, no matter what amount of time attached to it, just keeps us on the surface, doesn't it? Like, relational intimacy requires intentionality. We are in a season and in a series talking about sacred rhythms, how to grow in our relationship with God. And we called sacred rhythms this, that sacred rhythms are simply spiritual practices. You can put in their intentionalities that help cultivate the life of Christ in a follower of Jesus. They help produce this personal, intimate, life-giving relationship. It transforms you as well. And last week we looked at this whole idea of prayer, and we said this about prayer, that prayer is simply the pathway for experiencing intimacy with God. It's just the pathway upon which, if you want to have this intimate, life-giving relationship with your Heavenly Father, prayer is that pathway. Prayer is just engaging in this ongoing conversation with your Heavenly Father. It's just that. It's a conversation. It's not anything, you know, crazy or mystical. It's like, man, I'm just keeping company with God. Now, the question is, and the problem is, for many of us, We have prayed, but don't experience intimacy with God, right? You're like, Ingram, I've prayed. And what it felt like is I was praying and it just felt like the prayers hit the ceiling. Like, how do you pray in a way where you experience intimacy with God? Or maybe a little bit better yet is, what do you talk about when you talk to God? You ever thought about that? Like, what should you talk about? What are the things that come up? And how do you pray in a way that develops this intimate personal relationship with your Heavenly Father where it's life-giving, soul-shaping, something that you look at and go like, man, this is like, yeah, it really is the pathway to intimacy, rather than like this duty that we often feel when it comes to prayer. Like, oh, I know I should do it. Jesus shifts his attention on the Sermon on the Mount, and he's going to teach us how to pray. We talk about it as the Lord's Prayer. And the Lord's Prayer is actually an unpacking. It's a model for us of how to like develop this intentional, intimate relationship with Jesus. Because I just got to say, probably many of us in the room would identify with the way I have conversations when they have a conversation with God. There may be talking going on, but there's no connection happening. So how do we have that connection? And we're going to look at just five areas, five conversational pieces, five subject matters that develop intimacy with God. If you got your Bibles, would you open them up to Matthew chapter 6? We'll dive in together, and we'll look at five areas that develop intimacy and cultivate this life-giving personal relationship with your Heavenly Father. Jesus begins it this way. He says this, "This then is how you should pray." If you're taking notes or writing in, just circle that word, how. In Luke's gospel, Luke chapter 11, we see the Lord's Prayer is there as well. And he says, "This then is, you know, pray this, say this." And down through the centuries, this has been a prayer that Christians recite. It's great. It's fantastic for that. There's other prayers that we recite, like the Psalms. There's written prayers that have been incredibly meaningful that you would read and pray back, like the Book of Common Prayers is a great place for that. In fact, as we worship, did you know that worship is just simply prayers in song form? It changes the way you worship. Instead of just singing words, you're going, I am praying to God in this moment. And those are powerful. But here's what I want you to notice here. Jesus says this is how you should pray, not what you should pray. What he's about to unpack now is these areas or these themes, these conversational pieces that will lead you to the very heart of God, that will transform your life, that help you know what to say and what to talk about. I am a student of my wife's questions because I am not a very good question asker. I've become much better over the years, but I have watched and I just copy the questions she asks. I'm like, you know what? I'm about to hang out with this friend and I know that when after I come back, she's going to ask me these questions. I better ask these questions, and all of a sudden, isn't it amazing? Just an ounce of intentionality brings you down below the surface, and you're like, wow, I had no idea. For example, yesterday, I was at the baseball park watching my son play. There's a lady sitting next to me out there and with her kids, and I've just learned this from my wife, just watching. And so we had this conversation, and I was like, oh, your kids are playing, cool, and found out she's on the opposite team. I'm like, oh, enemy. And she, you know, she says, oh, yeah, we weren't a part of Willow Glen Little League last year. We were part of this other one. And I could have just left it at that. I said, oh, really? What was it that made you, you know, switch over here? Did you move? Did something happen? One little next question, just below the surface, not very far. And all of a sudden, you know what she said? Well, my husband died recently. Did you know that God placed me there, a pastor, to be a moment of ministry to a woman who's really in a lot of pain and 18 months ago lost her husband and has two kids, 12 and 9 years old? And all it took was that little step of intentionality that we so often miss in relationships and conversations. And it opened up this pathway to connect and to talk and to hear and to, like, minister. And Jesus, in the Sermon on the Mount, is going to teach us how to pray. A few things that are going to help us connect and talk and just go below the surface. These are five areas that develop intimacy with God. The first area is this. He says the first area, the first theme that develops intimacy with God is the area of worship. Worship just means to ascribe worth. Listen to what Jesus says. He says, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name." Like, when you start talking to God, don't start with yourself, start with God. This is a personal, intimate, loving, good, caring Father. I don't know what your earthly father was like, but God is nothing like your earthly father. No matter how good your earthly father was or bad, he is your perfect heavenly Father who loves you. And so Jesus has this, holds in tensions God's intimacy and his fatherhood with his sovereignty and his immensity. Our Father in heaven, both loving and all-powerful. That's who you pray to. Like, when you pray, that you would just begin to go and you stop and go, okay, I'm stepping into a conversation with the Heavenly Father who loves me, who's all sovereign, all powerful, all good, all wise, all knowing. And he says, hallowed be your name. You know what that means? It means, let your name be sacred to me. Don't let me pull you down to my level. I want to move up to your level. I don't want to just drag you down to me. I always want to look up and you are high and you are holy. You are set apart and you are Father. And I am invited in this moment. How cool is that? To have a conversation with you. And the first theme that Jesus invites us into is this worship, this awe, this reverence, this respect. Well, what is worship? Worship is recognizing and responding appropriately to the greatness of God. That you would look up and see God for who he is. Man, that changes your circumstances that you're going through, like your perspective on it. When you have a huge God, your problems begin to pale in comparison to the size of your God. And worship is just recognizing the greatness, the goodness of who God is. And just begin to look up and be in awe, be in wonder. Ascribe worth. God, you are so worthy. Well, how do we do that? All right, let me give you a few just simple practices. First, talk to God about God. The Psalms do this incredibly well. If you want to go through and read the Psalms, they ascribe to God glory and worth and power, and they talk to God about God. I mean, you've been in relationships, and when you really adore someone, when you really admire them, you tell them, right? I mean, remember your dating years for some of you? And you just be like, you would write these letters. You are so beautiful and wonderful and kind and awesome. And wow, the way you walk with such grace. Like, I don't even know what that means. But when you really are in love with someone or you admire someone, you're like, man, you just begin to tell them about them that you really love about them. See, worship begins when we just begin to talk to God about him. Like, God, you are so great, and you're so big, you're so holy. I want to remind myself of who you are before I move forward. Now, another way that we can do this is just spending time thanking him. Gratitude is a powerful for not only just reorienting our heart back onto who God is, but also changes our perspective on our entire circumstances around us. Like, if you would just simply say, thank you, God, for. Often when I pray, I begin in my journals because I can naturally see the negative things in life. I just start writing thank yous right at the beginning. Depending on the day, they're very simple. Depending on the circumstances. You know, I'm like, thank you, God, for this home. Thank you, God, that we have food in the fridge. Thank you, God, for, and you just begin to thank God for how he's provided. It is an act of worship. And it begins to change and shape your heart. Think about worshiping, maybe enjoying his creation. It says the heavens declare the glory of God. I'm a surfer kid from Santa Cruz. The ocean, I can't help but when I go to the ocean and see the beach and the immensity, I can't help but begin to worship and be in awe of God. Maybe you're a mountains person. Maybe you're a city person. You just look up and you just begin to enjoy his creation and remind yourself, God, you spoke and all this came into being. Or maybe just put on some worship music in your car, your commute. How many hours a week do you spend in your car? A lot, yeah. You could actually use that so intentionally to begin to recalibrate your heart to who God is, to begin to look up and see him for who he is, and just to worship him, and just put on worship music. And then he moves from worship to surrender. And what we'll see is there's this very intentional progression that's going to shape our hearts, that's going to align our hearts with God's heart. Notice what he says. He says, your kingdom come, and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Your kingdom. Dallas Willard says this about the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is the range of God's effective will. It's wherever his royal rule is taking place. Saying, your kingdom come. Like, God, we want heaven to invade earth. We want your rule and your way to be the way in our world. And your will be done on earth, in my home, in my family, in my life, as it is in heaven. Just as in heaven, your perfect will is accomplished 100% of the time. And on this planet, we experience the brokenness of our own rebellion of our human hearts. And he says, God, would you restore and would you bring your life and your will and your way? It's a prayer of surrender. What is surrender? Surrender is giving God full and complete control of every area of your life. It is going, God, you can have your way in me. Romans 12:1 says this, therefore, in view of God's mercy, in light of all that he's done, chapters 1 through 11 in Romans will tell you all of his mercy and what he's done and how he has saved you. And he says, in view of all that, present or offer your bodies as a living sacrifice. You know the problem with a living sacrifice? A living sacrifice can crawl off the altar. A dead sacrifice just lays there, right? You know? But a living sacrifice can take back what they had given. Present your bodies as a living sacrifice. This is your holy and pleasing worship. See, surrender is going, God, not my will, but your will be done. Surrender is saying, I am going to bring my life into alignment with your word. We think of it and sometimes use it like, I'm just going to let go. Like, God, you have your way. And you know, this circumstance is really overwhelming. And so, God, I just trust you. And certainly there's that part of it. But fundamentally, when we're talking about surrendering, we're talking about your kingdom, God, which means you're the king. You are the king of the universe. You are my heavenly, perfect, heavenly father, but I don't want to forget that you are also the king. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to ask you to be the king in me. Who is sitting on the throne of your life? Who gets to call the shots? Surrender says, I no longer sit on the throne of my life, but God, you can take the seat there and you get to call the shots in my life. What surrender looks like is conforming my will to God's will when it comes to sexuality, conforming my will to God's word when it comes to our finances and our future and our friendships and what we put in our minds.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to Living on the Edge with Chip Ingram. Chip and his son Ryan Ingram will be back in just a minute to talk more about today's message from our series, Sacred Rhythms, Cultivating a Lifestyle That Makes Room for God. If the burdens of life are pressing in and you need to make some changes, Sacred Rhythms will help you do that. In Sacred Rhythms, you'll learn how to develop a few of the key spiritual practices that unlock a deeper, more satisfying relationship with God. To order your copy of Sacred Rhythms or to send a set to a friend, just visit us online at livingontheedge.org. You'll find that the CDs are discounted and the MP3s are absolutely free. Or if you prefer to order over the phone, just give us a call at 1-888-333-6003.
Hey, I want to take just a minute to ask you something really important. If you've been impacted by this ministry, would you please pray about partnering with Living on the Edge in a new way right now? Nearly everything we do is dependent on contributions from partners like you. Our ability to reach people through radio, online, or our app, sharing and developing small group resources, providing broadcasts that are international in Asia and the Middle East, and literally dark places around the globe. Please pray how you might be able to come alongside and be a partner to Living on the Edge to help us reach people with the truth of God's Word. Let me tell you, our focus is to help people see God for who He really is and then live accordingly. Thank you in advance for whatever God leads you to do.
Thanks, Chip. Well, if Living on the Edge is ministering to you and you've not yet become a financial partner, would you prayerfully consider doing that today? It takes a team to do what God's called us to do, and we're inviting you to help us help Christians live like Christians. You can give a gift online at livingontheedge.org, or if you prefer, give us a call at 1-888-333-6003. On behalf of Chip and everyone here, thank you for your prayers and your financial support. Now, with some final thoughts about today's talk, here's Chip and Ryan Ingram.
As we wrap up today's message, Ryan, I have to ask you a question because I don't hear many pastors talk about surrender, especially when it comes to the area of prayer. And I'm thinking, you live in a high-tech world. There's all these young professionals. Obviously, it says, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done." You're teaching the text, but did you have any fears or what was the challenge in teaching absolute surrender to a group of people that are told every day of their life they've got it all together, they're the brightest, the best, et cetera, et cetera?
Yeah, I think the reality is they're told those things and then they experience reality.
Yeah.
And realize all those things they're buying into and the rhythms and the pace they're running after is not producing the life they want. Hmm. And surrender actually is the place where we find ourselves most free. Hmm. And becoming who God made us to be. It is that process upon which we engage and become who God made us to be. And so when we surrender our identity, our sexuality, our thought life, our friendships, we actually become more of who God made us to be and more free than we ever were. So I get excited about teaching it.
Well, I don't think most people, when they think about prayer, it's sort of a spiritual thing. And yet you talked about surrendering your sexuality, your identity. And in reality, those things are at the heart of really connecting with God, which is what prayer is all about, isn't it?
Right. Absolutely. And it's one of those things for us where our culture and our generations are being fed, find yourself, discover yourself. Following Jesus is denying yourself.
Wow.
And he says, deny yourself and follow me. And in following Jesus, you actually find who you truly are.
I hear a lot of people say that, quote, millennials, the next generation, Generation Z, you can't really teach the Bible like this. But when you taught this passage this clearly, what was the response?
This is a generation that is lost in many ways. And I don't mean that pejoratively,
right,
but just has gotten such misinformation about who they are and hoping for someone to
here's how life works. Here's how you can have a relationship with God. And when you give them God's word, they're responsive because God's word's powerful. It's living and active. And so this is one of those areas where people are going, okay, I'm going to try it. I've tried everything else. I might as well try this.
Well, when I get to visit Awakening Church where you pastor and I see that place packed out, both services and the energy in the room, I think I would say to parents and grandparents and fellow pastors, you know, rather than moving away from real challenge about how to really live the life, maybe it's time we lean in and lovingly challenge and model for young people, this is what it really looks like. Thanks so much, Ryan.
Absolutely.
You know, an easy way to hear this message again would be to download the Chip Ingram app. You'll have free access to all these Sacred Rhythms messages, Chip's interactive message notes, and much more. And not only that, but it couldn't be easier to email, order, or give us a call right from the app. To download the Chip Ingram app, just go to the App Store or Google Play today. We'll be with us again tomorrow when we continue our series, Sacred Rhythms. For Chip and the entire team here, this is Dave Drewy saying thanks for listening to this edition of Living on the Edge.